And coming up next on Free Radio, it's Bathrobes, Pierre's Broadsides, your very favorite R. Norse show. That's me. Hopefully we're going to have a special guest, Andreas Nicholas, in the studio. Do I have his name right? Well, we'll find out if we can get him in the studio. He hasn't shown up yet, but I'm going to try to flag him down by phone. This is the guy doing a protest tomorrow in the Laurel and Front Street parking lot. Stay tuned. Bathrop Spears Broadsides coming up. We have a little dead air first, so take a deep breath. And enough of that one. That tape was a little old and a little creaky. How about a little of this? And that, of course, was the infamous Phil Free of Just Kiddin', who still has a show on Freak Radio. That's what you're tuned to, freakradio.org, 101.1 FM. And the name of the show, as my guest just pointed out, is Bathrop Spears. Well, he got part of it. Bathrop Spears Broadsides. My guest today is Andreas Nicholas. Now, does that mean you're some kind of a foreign commie spy? What's the deal, Andreas? Where does that come from?
Croatian.
Yeah, a fascist spy. I see. Very interesting.
One of the two, of
yes.
course.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you speak any Croatian?
I've learned a couple words in my time, but not very many. Okay. It's kind of like an Italian-Russian, really.
Yes. What, well, yes. Italian-Russian. So, anyway, for those who want some background but who don't want to listen to the two of us talk, you can go to indiebay.org/Santa Cruz and check out the story. I was just cited with the unconstitutional parking lot ordinance, Jim Crow Law, by the very same Andreas Nicholas, at which Andreas announces a protest tomorrow and an incident a week ago.
Narwhalographic protest.
Narwhalographic protest.
Yes.
So what you want to give us some of the lowdown or the high up or the whatever, the inside scoop on, first of all, what happened last week that prompted your protest?
Well, I mean, I'm someone who videotaped the drum circle during its first citation. I got a warning. They took my identification down. Aldridge did, and I got the video, and I asked them, what are you trying to do, take away our right to publicly assemble? And he said, we're working on something. And it's on video, everything on YouTube. So
now let me understand. When and where did Aldridge give you a warning?
This would have been, I don't know, February maybe? It's like the drum circle.
It was at the drum circle.
Yeah,
this was with a lot of other drummers.
Several months ago, yeah.
It's probably in January then.
Yeah, January.
Because there was only one time that Aldridge gave out, Aldridge and I guess might have been Sims and Flippo, or certainly was, I think it was Flippo and Aldridge at the very least.
It was really funny to see, like, I was walking officers around town, and I took some video footage with me. I was just like, hey, I'm at the farmer's market. Hey, I'm at the drum circle. And as soon as I walk onto the drum circle, not even 5 minutes, I'm getting harassed by, you know, the police for videotaping.
An innocent video journalist like yourself.
Yeah, I right on camera, too. And I asked, and I, you know, can film it, and I filmed the whole thing. The whole interaction's online.
Did you actually ask Officer Aldridge if you could film?
Yeah, and it's got his badge number. And
what did he say to you when you asked him that?
Pretty sure he just said, yeah, something like that.
Never
he
ask the police
back
if you can film, by the way. Just start filming. That's my
advice.
Well,
of course I was filming by that point. But
right.
I've got
right
myself asking.
You
him
want to be a polite. You were raised by a Croatian mom to be a polite boy.
Well, I got in trouble a couple of nights ago before this night, this recent citation, because I was in SoCal at Mose Alley doing a narwhalographic projection where we were live green
hold
screen
it right there. What is a narwhalographic projection?
Well, it's live green screening and mixing videos with people in it.
That's distinguished from dead blue screening. I mean,
yeah,
clarify
more,
this for
it's
us.
It's more exciting and more hyphy. And just,
what
yeah
exactly is green screening and what is live green screenings?
While the show's going on, we're taking out the background behind them, either taking out the light or taking out a color from behind them. And then we replace it with live video footage or videos we're taking off the internet or videos we've compiled and mixed together. And, you know, we just like to do it
live. So there's a live show happening, and then you do projection behind them. It's kind of like maybe reminiscent of the psychedelic shows
very
of the
much
60s
it's,
and 70s.
It's bringing back, I'd say, the 70s. The
are you a drug system addict? Come on, tell me the truth.
Not really, actually.
Terrorist, perhaps?
Probably. I'm a military, enemy combatant. That's what I am. That's
like fuzzy-headed liberal?
Fuzzy-headed
you're not,
liberal?
At least you're not wearing a beard like
no,
some people.
I'm a registered Republican. And it's crazy to believe it, but I voted for, you know, I voted for Ron Paul, and that's, I mean, I'm 19 years old, and I wanted freedom and the right to be on public property.
This was here in Santa Cruz you voted
this
for Ron
here
Paul?
In Santa Cruz.
How many others actually voted for Ron Paul here in Santa Cruz?
Not enough, but a lot, you know.
Did you have a tally at the end of how many actually voted for Ron Paul?
I'll tell you this much. Someone did. Someone had a tally. Someone actually went out there and read the number and knows how many people because we care that much. I mean, that's what's interesting about Ron Paul is that everybody who voted for Ron Paul cared about Ron Paul, and enough so that people went out and made sure that the votes were counted. More than anyone else can say.
Now, we actually talked about Ron Paul, Kucinich, Gravel, all these other candidates, at least insofar as their anti-war platforms go. And there's been a little controversy on the left whether people should be supportive of Ron Paul because of his anti-choice positions, you know, as far as the right to choose an abortion, reproductive rights. And, of course, there's a lot of earlier scurrilous stuff that was thrown at Ron Paul, I think primarily because of his positions on the war. And also his popularity in the Republican Party, the fact that, you know, I guess something that he originally founded had a lot of, I don't know, racist drivel in the early 90s, and he, well, something like that. But in any case, we're some years later, and the question is, where is he now? And that's really an interesting question. We haven't talked about Paul much on the air. We are going to be talking mainly about your upcoming
Narwhalographic protest.
This is where you paint everyone green, have them stand in the background, and they start projecting very loudly.
Swinging 60s style.
We're going to talk about that in a minute. Ron Paul, how many Paulistas or Paulititos were there? How many people? How many supporters of Paul?
I don't actually know the exact number, but there were
definitely...
Did you
go to any Paul rallies? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I remember just being in the street and seeing someone with a Paul sticker while we're driving, and then all the cars on both sides of the road stop and start honking their horns and getting out of the car and waving and just stopping in the middle in Santa Cruz. So.
Well, has Ron retreated to Texas, or is he still whooping it up?
I'm sure he's got to try to beat his Congress, you know, trying to stay a House representative, and I don't think that there's much chance of anybody not a member of the House or the Trilateral Commission, really. I mean, that's the deal is that we were told red is bad, so subconsciously we're going to say blue this time. I unfortunately, even though I don't agree with the choice, think Hillary Clinton is going to become president, just because, I mean, it just seems so agendified.
Well, you get the guys and gals at the top, in this case a gal, unusual, but, you know, gals can be part of the war party, and I think she is. Although she has said, along with Obama, that they're going to, you know, try to get out of the out of Iraq. They don't give you a significant timetable. They voted in favor of every large military appropriation that's come down the pike.
Well, they're the blue war party. They're the communists in the sense that they're the Soviet Union. They're not really socialists or anything.
There is no Soviet Union anymore. There's only a bunch of Russian thugs, or I should say,
now is we have a union of people. I mean, just as there is a European Union of common, you know, instead of backing with gold, we have the Americans and the citizens to back the money.
Well, what I'm interested in more, rather than theories, you know, attacks on our Federal Reserve System and things of that sort, not to mention our income tax, but I'm interested more in what's happening locally with Ron Paul, and I guess not much is what I've seen. What about you? Have you seen anything new?
Well, I feel, you know, it's...
You're going to be having a Ron Paul rally tomorrow in the parking lot?
Well, I'll green screen Ron Paul into the Narwhalographic projections.
Now, what does that mean? Let's jump to that, unless you've got more to say about Ron Paul, specifically as far as Santa Cruz goes.
I just feel the Ron Paul revolution was said, and now I feel like revolution is the only thing left.
And so this is what you're doing with the Narwhalographic projections?
This is just peaceful assembly and civil disobedience. It's like
revolution means picking up guns and taking over courthouses and things like that? Or?
Who knows what it's going to mean? I know this much, that guns and muskets aren't going to beat them.
Let me call the Homeland Security just a moment while you're waiting. Let me get a picture of you while we're here.
I don't see guns as a solution to people who have neutron bombs and real weapons. I think.
Wait a minute, are you saying the Santa Cruz Police Department has neutron bombs?
I'm pretty sure every sheriff has a carbon assault rifle, gas-powered semi or fully automatic assault rifle in their car. Am I incorrect in that assumption? They also have
Have you seen such a rifle in our local SPD car?
I do my best to avoid sitting in the back of them these days.
You've got to pal up with the cops to find out what's happening. Anybody can do a ride-along, perhaps probably anybody but me.
Was it Officer Christie who really liked Jem in the Holograms, I think? He saw it and he was like, wow, Jem? Girls cartoon from the 80s? I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, there's a Deputy Christie. Is there also an Officer Christie? The Deputy
Maybe
Christie with
Deputy
the sheriff.
Christie.
Deputy Amy Christie was famous for... she had a lesbian relationship that I think she tried to have... sanctified up in San Francisco, and you know that was all
this,
that. All
this
that
was
stuff
a guy cop.
Blocked,
this
more,
was a guy cop. Like
I was a guy cop. Yeah,
who liked
yeah,
Jem?
This Christie was
shaved
famous.
Head. Loved Jem.
She was famous for
Jem
harassing homeless and poor people out at the Rancho Del Mar shopping center.
Speaking of which, homeless and poor people, you're welcome to the Narwhalographic protest.
Will you be providing shelter and food?
No, but Santa Cruz has got nice weather, and, you know, I don't know if there's going to be food because of the whole litter issue, but I'm down for people to do whatever if that's... I'm interested in that, and we'll see how the future goes as well.
So what's happening tomorrow at the Narwhalographic protest?
We will have beatboxing, probably. No sound amplification, just people bringing their own fresh, you know, singing to the scene. We're going to have live projections out of the parking lot, out of a car, parked legally.
Projections of?
projections of mixed things. Probably Ronald Reagan will make it onto the scene. A little bit of George Bush action with some hype.
What about Mayor Coonerty? What about Ryan Coonerty?
I could get some footage of the locals, and I'm definitely going to have some footage of the
cop. What
about
Officer Aldridge?
Will be on the wall. I'll make him a superstar. And I think Coonerty should definitely make the scene. If we have some
now, is this something you watch passively, or do you dance to it? Do you throw tomatoes at it? I mean, what do you do with
all of it? People can drive by it. People can walk by it. People can hang out and hang around it. And it's kind of like the difference between the old days. You watch a long show that you pay a lot of attention to. This, you can put as much attention as you want to, and you don't have to follow missing something.
Well, I've heard
before.
Of square dancing in the parking lot, Rico Thunder.
Well,
and
crip dancing and hyphonic, yeah. You know, crank walking. I mean, doing crunk, you know, bang.
So you can
Beretta.
Do crypt walk, crip,
crick, crick, crank. I don't know. What would you say? Crip? Yeah, crip, crip. Crip.
Crip.
Yeah,
C-R-I-P. K-R-A-P. Crap? No, crip. Crip.
Probably something of that.
In any case, it's a dancing style that I probably haven't yet learned.
You just got to get low down.
Got to get low and fast rather than low and slow.
Or
well,
slow.
I've heard of square dancing in the parking lots, which is illegal. It's illegal to be in the parking lots doing anything other than retrieving or picking up a vehicle and then only for 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Any of the public parking lots.
But
the private
can't be in the
lots,
road, and obviously the sidewalk's not for square dancing or going crunk, so... I don't know where you're supposed to go crunk, man.
Hire a hall. You know,
hire a hall to go get... Well, you know, this is
the
thing.
Get it together.
I go to the Moe's Alley and then
go to the park during the daytime. Parks are closed at night, of course.
Yes.
Yeah, and parking garages
can't project
as well
in the daytime.
Are also illegal spots as far as any kind of public assembly goes. Now, you, last week, did assemble in the parking lot at Laurel and Front Street, right?
Indeed.
How many of you were there?
2 weeks, actually.
You were there for two Friday evenings?
Yeah, they kicked us out the first Friday evening. We went to another location. They didn't bother us. Then we went back the next week, and they gave us an infraction for a sound ordinance and said it was a loitering ticket. And
was Officer Aldrich who gave you the citation?
No, actually, it was I don't remember the name, Zotz or something. It was Officer Badge Number 199.
199. Can you please call in and give us an explanation?
Say hi.
If you're listening.
Yeah.
We're talking with Andreas Nicholas here in the studio. You're a narwhal graphic man here in Santa Cruz. We'll be doing a protest / show tomorrow at 9 o'clock. I take it you've applied for a permit for this.
No need for a permit for the public.
No stinking permits?
No, not for peaceably assembling, I'm pretty sure.
I see. Well,
yeah, we'll see how they want to play their cards, too. I'd love to be able to bring it all to court and say, hey, turn the lights down, you know, so we can show exactly what went down and we can project in the courtroom, you know, and say, this is what you're trying to give kids tickets for in this town, because obviously the meth.
The judge will say, that's not necessary, Mr. Nicholas.
You
I think
crazy leftist.
It's
yeah.
It's not necessary.
Probably.
Officer
hypey leftist.
199 will give us the facts of the situation. And actually, you are allowed to present such evidence in court. The problem is going to be that the parking ordinance is pretty specific. It's, Mayor Coonerty's ordinance that says you can't be in a parking lot at all, even if you have a vehicle, for more than 15 minutes, and you can't even do it unless you're retrieving or picking up a vehicle. So if you want to read or lie under a tree, you can't do it at all. You can walk through the parking lot if you're going from one place to another, even if you don't have a vehicle. That's their concession to prior
like in
Santa
and of itself,
Cruz
doesn't it
liberties.
Void its own law? I mean, and isn't there something where the homeless are allowed to sleep during the day, but they can't sleep at night?
That's exactly
sleeping
the case,
bed.
Yeah.
These laws are unconstitutional, and they're not going to...
Well, you would think so, but then again...
The Jim Crow laws.
You might say the national government, in a way it's conducting an illegal war abroad, is unconstitutional.
Oh, okay, now I get
to call... They seem to be getting more and more
the
money
Homeland
for
Security
it.
And the NSA.
Now, we have a phone number in the studio in case you'd like to, you know, add your voice to those of the two of us, or perhaps challenge us in anything we're saying, got any questions... Comments
or help us out.
Or possibly support. 427-3772 is the phone number to call in. 427-FRSC. That's Freak Radio Santa Cruz. And tomorrow at 9 o'clock, it's going to be Narwhal Graphomania in the parking lot at Laurel and Front. Now, describe what happened the last time you did this. Is this are you a gang of rowdy drinkers? I mean, what goes on with this group?
Well, I'm pretty much, I don't drink at all, just because I'm not
you
really
You have a Pepsi
it.
T-shirt on, I'd like to point
That's,
out.
It's a vintage, though, see?
Oh, it's vintage Pepsi.
Yeah, I don't you really drink
this,
much
you
Pepsi.
You're a supporter of the international tentacles of the Pepsi Corporation?
Truth be told, don't let it out too far, but I used to be a Latter-day Saint for a little while, so I'm not a huge drinker, smoker.
You are an ex-Mormon?
Yeah, a little bit. Well, I mean, I'm cool, but you know what I'm saying, I'm not...
Have you been sexually liberated?
Sexually liberated, many times.
Will there be any sexual liberation? celebration tomorrow night in the parking lot.
I'm pretty sure that in parked cars, is that okay? I don't know. I'm not going
to
fight.
You're not allowed
to
be in a parked car for more than 15 minutes. I guess you can have some real slow sexual activity as you either retrieve or park your vehicle.
You can fight for your own rights in that respect.
Right. Okay. Well, so how long were you in the parking lot last Friday before the police came and said, move along?
I think it was like an hour or two. Like basically some Santa Cruz truck drove through, like a city truck, and they just drove around in a circle, waved at us. I mean, we waved at them. They didn't wave at us. And then they came back with five or six police cars in about 15 minutes.
Five or six police cars?
Yeah. It was a pretty big amount of people.
And how many police officers came out to chat with you?
About five or six.
Five or six. One cop per car.
I think there was more than one cop per car. There was still a cop in most of the cars. And then there was also, like, all these people. The other thing was that one person had come to the scene with a tricycle with a sound stereo on it. So that there was, like, music playing from his tricycle. And so they were going to give me a... That was why I got the sound ordinance.
Although apparently you were not told that was the reason, right?
No, I asked specifically if that was what it was for, and they said no, it was for loitering in a parking lot. But when I checked the law, they'd written down a different code.
Okay. Have you ever gotten any other citations, Mr. Criminal Guy?
Let's see. I got a parking ticket. I ran a stop sign on Portola once, I think. That's about all I can remember.
Well, have you ever been sanctioned by the elders of the Mormon Church?
Sanctioned by not in anything that they
race mixing, perhaps.
No, I'm pretty safe.
Feminism.
Feminism sometimes. Me and Kurt Cobain, both feminists.
So you are a supporter of the.
Not the feminazi, just the just equal rights. You know,
just equal rights. So.
Of course.
We're actually going to be having hopefully a call from Jillian Greenside. You probably don't know her, Andreas, but she is a. She's the head of the rape counseling up in UCSC, and she wrote an editorial last Sunday in the Sentinel about how the police record for investigations in Santa Cruz of rapes is very low. Apparently, they're rather preoccupied with other matters, such as dealing with narwhal or projectional criminals, such as yourself. Five to six cars, after all, seems to be an interesting number.
Yeah.
Maybe they just want to make sure that... Maybe they wanted to see the show, you know.
It was exciting. I couldn't
what
blame
was
them.
What show did they interrupt last week?
Oh, we had first thing I want to say on that subject was it seems kind of interesting because I asked my girlfriend about it and she said that she remembered reading in the Sentinel, and I don't usually read the newspaper because it's blatant propaganda, but she said that it said something about the rape or something happened in a parking lot, and so that's why the ordinance had gone into effect. It was an excuse they used.
Actually, they've never claimed there's a rape in a parking lot in the 2 years prior. Instead, they have claimed that they began with parking garages and said it was unsafe.
Unsafe, or
it had the appearance or feel of being unsafe. And the main thing that the stats were about camping and homeless people going poo-poo and caca and da-da and goo-goo and pee-pee. In the parking lot, so I don't know about the goo-goo and da-da, but in any case. There were car break-ins. You know, they said there were some car break-ins. And the stats, though, were not comparatively shown. They didn't say, here's this increase, you know, heavy crime wave in the parking lots compared with less outside, or here's a crime wave over a period of time that shows an increase. None of those figures did our local Goebbels of the police department, Zach Friend, who's kind of often the police department spokesperson. Zach's a nice guy, but his statements often need a lot of correcting, amending, and adding to really get the true picture, in my view. I call him Goebbels because I believe he is supporting a police agenda. Now, Goebbels was supporting the Nazi agenda, so that's not entirely – it's a little bit perhaps harsh to call Zach that kind of – but I don't like – official propagandas for the police department that essentially lead people in the way of criminalizing a class of people. And he has done that with homeless people, and I think he may be doing that with other groups of people. And I think he has the best intentions. I mean, I think he wants to see a safer Santa Cruz. A lot of people do. Of course, Hitler wanted to see a safer Germany. I mean, it's hard to say, you know. I mean, a lot of people thought the Führer's heart was in the right place. It's just his weapons were all over the place. That was the problem, one of the things. Anyway, we're talking with Andreas Nicholas on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org, about a protest coming up tomorrow. Essentially, I guess you talk about it online as concerning a number of things, but it's going to be the only law actually being violated unless you have amplified sound, is going to be, and you can still have amplified sound out of a TV set or radio if it's at conversational level.
Hmm.
So that's, you
know.
Good
thing to keep in mind.
That's the, well, that's the wording of the law.
And well, if people want to bring their own radios, I mean, you know.
Right,
don't,
I mean,
no
we
Walkmans.
Can do some singing there, perhaps.
Exactly.
You know, and this is not a residential neighborhood where you are. This is next to the river. It's next to Laurel Street. They're essentially closed businesses. There's a, I think there's a credit union there. I think it's the wall of the credit union. I was going to suggest we have some videos or DVDs you can play that aren't really images of them. They do have sound. And so it's those of us who, and we've played videos before on the sidewalk using television sound. You know, you could, if people want to do kind of the Guerrilla Theater regularly does video playing without a permit. They do it all over the city, and that violates the sound amplification ordinance every time it's done. And the police don't, as far as I know, attempt to cite them. Sometimes they harass them. I think they did that under the bridge a couple of years ago when they did a movie. What you do, as I said, has a sort of a similarity to what other groups have done. When the drum circle was hassled, as you know, the Trash Orchestra, which Rico Thunder and others are now trying to actually fundraise to do a kind of an out-of-town orchestral tour up in Portland and other cities. There was one on the air a couple weeks ago who talked about that and encouraged people to consider donating to the Trash Orchestra so they can get those loud and noisy people out of town, for God's sake. But they joined the drum circle in order to essentially say, if you're going to ticket them, you can ticket us, too. And the police backed off, including Officer Aldridge, though he did take a few parting shots, like videos, everybody, and we videoed him videoing, and all that is on Free Radio, not Free Radio, IndieBay.org, Indie Media, Santa Cruz Indie Media, for people who want to take a look at it. Our concern, I mean, my concern for years in the long struggle to oppose this ordinance, which seems kind of ridiculous to have to spend so much energy to deal with such a basic constitutional right, so thinly justified in terms of any kind of real public safety concern, how do we stop it? How do we turn it back? And I guess the way that's been shown so far is simply you ignore it.
Well, that's the problem, is that you can only turn a blind eye to so many corners before you're trapped in a box. And a couple nights ago, you know, they turned a blind eye when we went to a different street corner. And we didn't go back to that street corner. That last Friday, we came back to the wall they kicked us out from. Because, you know, we had to make the decision, are we going to just let them, you know, kick us out of one spot and have this ordinance exist and be like, okay, well, we've got this law, we can bust homeless people, but these kids, we're going to let these kids go. I mean, no, it's the Jim Crow law, and we're not down. So basically, we're going to project wherever we feel like. It's our constitutional right. And, you know, I'm glad that I'm young and I'm, you know, exciting enough with my projectors that, like, I get special treatment. But at the same time, I'm not willing to let special treatment go to me and not to everybody else. I want the entire ordinance removed.
I think it's commendable. I mean, what I was saying, though, was that you ignore it. That's the way you – by ignoring it, I mean – you simply continue to do what you've always done, which is play in the parking lots. You don't say, here I am, I'm protesting this. Or you say, no, we're just going to go ahead and do what we always do. This is some crazy publicity stunt or foolish special interest law passed by Mayor Coonerty, you know, perhaps as part of his new congressional campaign. He's running for a congressional seat, perhaps, or he was, I think, at some point. You know, perhaps because he was simply listening to a bunch of merchants, the Downtown Association, perhaps he, Lynn Robinson, and Cynthia Matthews, three conservative council members, decided they would cook this up in their secret downtown working group and rammed it through. It actually took them a little while to ram it through, but they rammed it through anyway. The thing to do is to say, you know, it's like Andrew Jackson said to the Supreme Court, you know, they've made their decision, now let them enforce it. Similarly, you know, what we said at the drum circle is, and I was there too, and I was ready to take a citation or to engage in other forms of peaceful resistance to this law. You passed it. Now put your money where your mouth is if you really want us to start hassling people around it. Because, frankly, we could still lose. I mean, I think the law is unconstitutional, but the Supreme Court is not terribly sensitive to the Constitution, and you know, the local courts are definitely not very sensitive to the Constitution, so it could be quite a row to hoe. That doesn't mean that you can't restore the Constitution one block or one parking lot at a time by simply ignoring it and proceeding to act in the usual human friendly
fashion that we do in Santa Cruz. But the problem with that is, you know, I mean, and it's a cold thought to think about, what if Hitler, you know, didn't enforce his laws or not? You know, people wondering maybe at the time if they were Jewish, whether or not he was really going to do the things that the laws said that he could do. And the thing is, he did. You know, and like the roads have been built, they can bring the tanks down them. If they have the guns, if they want to enforce the law, they can enforce the law.
Well, you're making a broader statement about a lot of the laws in the country, which I tend to be sympathetic with. I'm talking about the specific way to. You may be saying this as a broader struggle. It sounds like you are.
Yeah, this is Jim Crow. This is like not just.
So you're
one
also
law.
Talking about
sleeping
you're talking
ban.
About the sleeping ban. You're
yeah,
talking
but
about
this,
the
that's the same.
Blanket
interest.
Ban.
This
camping
is a federal.
Ordinance.
This is a federal protest as much as it is a local protest, but it's mostly a local protest because it's starting here with the people that you know it's affecting the most, and hopefully it's like gaining their support by being something that we can identify with or.
So you're kind of doing what the colonists did when they kind of tarred and feathered the tax collectors. Which is, they were violent, but, and indeed, real revolution eventually can get violent and has in the past, although, you know, some revolutions aren't. Some revolutions can proceed without violence, but, you know, it's often a mixture of the two, where you are, you know, you're, the main purpose of this is not to engage in a challenge. You can play a little music there for us. He's whipped out his xylophone.
Evil house.
The purpose is not so much to specifically challenge a law as to say, we're not going to tolerate this kind of law, and we encourage everybody else to join us, and not only join us against this law, but against the whole series of laws, whether it's the Military Commissions Act or the Patriot Act or the 1996 Terrorism Act, which was passed under the Clinton regime, a whole series of laws, whether it's the sleeping ban or whether it's the ban on tarot reading on Pacific Avenue or the ban on... having a dog on Pacific Avenue, a whole series of restrictive laws that, in essence, without any significant really health and safety concern, simply fulfill the agenda of a sort of a repressive mentality. This is what I'm looking at. Am I moving in the right direction to describe what you're trying to do? Or?
I think so. I think it goes back to the beginning where, you know, I'm sure within, like, the, I mean, even today, not even just, like, a couple years after the Constitution, the Bill of Rights specifically, I'm sure there are just people, I mean, I know myself, whenever I look, I go, whoa, they gave us the right, the freedom of speech, they really defined it to make sure that somebody with a gun wasn't going to try to take it away from us. I mean, like, it's you know, that was in and of itself groundbreaking. And at the same time...
Now what was groundbreaking again?
Well, see, that's the thing. As much as it's groundbreaking that somebody in control of you gave their slave the freedom of speech, at the same time, it was them who gave control, and them who gave... They who were in control said that you had the freedom of speech. It wasn't that you had the freedom of speech, but they...
Well, freedom of speech is gained by people asserting freedom of speech. That's how you get freedom of speech. You don't get it by going to the government and asking them for freedom of speech.
Well, that's the problem.
The way you get freedom of speech
freedom
is you start speaking
anymore.
Freely. That's how you get freedom of speech. If enough people speak freely, then you get freedom of speech.
Well, I mean, until they decide whether or not they're going to silence you. And for them to say that they're not going to silence their slaves because they feel like, you know, they're in control because this is a big rat race that they control.
By slaves, you mean taxpayers, wage slaves.
Yeah, the gold assets, whatever you called, you know, us. The revenue,
the youth of today, and the aged guys as well.
All of us, yeah. You know, the Roman citizens, slaves, in Babylon.
Well, actually, the Roman citizens had slaves, and the slaves they had, they used pretty much for their own. But that's another story.
It's granted power. It's not real freedom in America because what we have is a system saying we are giving you these gifts of these freedoms, not that these freedoms are actually inherently yours. That's what it's turned into.
Well, I don't think it's what other people say. It's what you and I and the community in Santa Cruz say that's important. I mean,
as long as they decide not to. Well, right now, because they're not pushing us around. The federal government has not decided to push us around in that sense. But they're pushing us around with, you know, the NSA and with their federal commissions, Patriot Act. And
I think the real problem is not when the federal government, you know, whether it will push us around or not, but rather people are ready to be pushed around. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important when people like yourself stand up and say, no, I think I have a right to be in a parking lot. I'm not hurting anyone. This is obviously a violation of the Constitution and, you know, a violation of not just the Constitution, but basic inalienable rights that, you know, that they wrote down in the Constitution in order to persuade states to pass a whole bunch of governmental powers that would give mercantile interests a national power that they didn't have back in the 18th century. I mean, that's what the First Amendment was about. It wasn't because they decided it would be great to assert the freedom of speech. They wanted to pass a whole bunch of restrictions and powers on the rest of the country. In order to do that, they needed to pass 10 amendments as well. Mm-hmm. One of them was the First Amendment. And the First Amendment actually didn't really apply to the states at all. It applied only to the federal government. And there was a lot of repression for 150 years until the Supreme Court seized the power, using the power the federal government said, you, the state governments, can't arrest people for, you know, speaking against the government because those powers are subsumed under the federal constitution. That was in 1925 that they began doing that. Wow, a history lesson. You're tuned to Free Radio. Don't fall asleep, everybody. It's freakradio.org, www.freakradio.org, and 101.1 FM. I'm Robert Norris. In the studio with me is Andreas Nicholas. We're talking about a protest coming up tomorrow, and who knows, maybe thereafter. I'd like to see some. I mean, there was a lot of protests yesterday against the Iraqi war. I was wearing my little T-shirt, which I'm now wearing, talking about impeach, you know, the big boys at the top and get out of Iraq. I didn't show up at the town clock, and I understand a lot of people did show up at the town clock, and that was good. Or a number of people did. Did you get to the town clock yesterday?
I did not see it.
No. And I don't know whether it was 5 people with signs or 50 people with signs. I guess it's in the paper here. Maybe I can take a quick look in today's, in the urinal, as I call it, Santa Cruz urinal. Iraq War, 5 years later, activists mark anniversary with tears, protests. 250 people with lit candles huddled in small circles, but they didn't storm the Capitola Marine Recruiting Center, probably because they want to keep making these bizarre distinctions between the troops and the Führer, which I kind of find unfortunate.
I don't see Iraqi occupation ending anytime soon. I don't even think they finished building their oversized embassy and their, you know,
many
big
bases.
Temple. There's this huge Babylonian temple, this military complex. It's like a triangle. I mean, they're there to stay.
Are you suggesting that some kind of human sacrifices are in the offing?
Bohemian Grove? No way. No. That's not real.
I think that
people
suggesting that people
that's
are being
crazy.
Sacrificed over in Iraq is
outrageous,
frankly.
That's called... Let's
they
not.
Did that,
I don't want the Gestapo to come in here and
in,
take us
in,
out.
You know, the Aztecs and the Mayans, we are a more civilized people. We don't do that kind of thing, okay?
We build temples.
I don't want to hear that kind of talk.
No.
This is your Mormon background coming out. So, if people want to reach you and be supportive, is this your pooch here, perhaps?
Not my dog.
My goodness.
That's cool that there's a dog here.
Yes, a dog for the first time has invaded the studio. We may have to arrest the dog or call the Stalinist Central Committee of Free Radio. I don't know if do we have a dog policy? I'm not sure about the studio.
He seems like a safe dog.
It could be. We may try to interview this pooch and see what the pooch says. But
animal rights.
Pooch may be trying to head for the exit, having heard that. It's a shy dog. How can people reach you? Do you want to give an email out? Do you want them to contact you through the Huff line, 423-HUFF, which is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the group I work with, also concerned with restoring public spaces and access to the community and basic rights that I think particularly homeless people, but certainly the entire community, really, at a certain level, is lost.
I feel like the homeless people are the first to notice it because everyone else wants to sit indoors all day. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, if you want to contact me through the Huff line or if you want to email me at stemcellfilms@gmail.com, stemcellfilms@gmail, that would be, you know, fine. And also, yeah, come to the protest tomorrow 9 to 12 in Front and Laurel parking lot right there by the Taco Bell and FedEx building right against the bank wall, Union wall.
You can also download one of Andreas's flyers. Which is at the story.
Two
flyers.
There's one that's a poster, and then there's a PSD that has a "Did you know?" all about your rights and about what you can do if a police officer detained you, all on it.
Excellent. So that's tomorrow at 9 o'clock, and I think some of us may show up with video cameras in order to observe them as they ticket you and drive you down the road.
and to see what you do. I mean, I know one of the things we've often thought about these protests is what kind of strategies we can use if we're told to leave. And different strategies have been proposed, namely some ranging from sitting down to calling the sergeant superior or the officer superior and saying, take me to a magistrate, which isn't very helpful at 9 o'clock on a Friday night because they'll hold you in jail over the weekend, unless you don't mind that. Which, you know, it could be fun if there are enough people, I suppose. Jail has never been fun, as far as I've experienced.
Not in this town. They say it's a hungry jail.
It's just, jails are cold, kind of damp, stinky places. I mean, you meet people you haven't had contact with before, and they're not bad people.
I know, you're just walking around there like, my tax dollars go to this? You know?
Yeah, not only that. Yeah, it's kind of, and if you, particularly if you've been jailed unfairly, it feels pretty absurd and pretty outrageous. But other strategies have been suggested are having bikes nearby.
I got it. All right, I'm gonna wear tap dancing shoes. If I get put in the jail, I know the floors. I'm gonna tap dance like Fred Astaire.
They'll take off your shoes.
Really?
Yeah, you don't get shoes when you go into jail.
What?
You obviously had no experience.
No, absolutely.
You're
no.
merely a callow youth.
Yeah, indeed.
You'll learn as you get older.
No, I was fingerprinted, but they just let me out. Because this is the kind of thing I do. I project on walls.
Now, let's talk a little bit about that. You actually have done this in other cities, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Portland.
Yeah. And we're trying to go to Tijuana pretty soon. I don't know.
Do you speak Spanish?
Not enough Spanish, not enough Croatian, not enough Portlander.
Uh-huh.
Did you know in Portland, and in most of Oregon, in fact, all of Oregon, it's illegal to pump your own gas?
I studiously avoided pumping my own gas for years because I want to support gas station attendants everywhere.
That's pretty good, actually.
Well, actually, yeah. No, I always pump my own gas.
We had to stay in town and project just because of that. That was cool.
So, how many projection shows have you done in the past outside? Because that's where
a lot of outside shows. I mean, definitely as many, if not more.
You're 19 now.
Yeah.
When did you begin doing this? At what age?
18, early, maybe 17. I don't know.
So a couple years ago?
Yeah, about a year and a half, 2 years ago.
And you've never been cited for it?
No. I mean, I always avoid getting problems. Usually we do stuff like we say, hey, we're just on our way out. I mean, because if we're in a foreign city, you know, we just say, yeah, we're just on our way out. And then, because we're in a van, we can just project anywhere. We just move and project somewhere else, you know?
Yeah, police tried to cite your van with noting problems with registration or things like that.
I got great registration. I got good insurance.
You're well registered.
I'm doing my thing. I'm
registered.
And I washed my car before my shows. So that
you got a clean car. It's a clean machine.
Yeah, keeps me in shape, keeps me out of trouble.
But have you ever actually announced a protest before and gone?
No.
This is the first time I'm
announcing to the police, because I know they read MySpace and IndieBay more than anybody else, and they've got their little records.
And did you give us that space for IndieBay? Can people go to that space and
go to IndieBay? I don't know the actual link number, but if you look for I was cited, Narwhal Graphic Protest, it's all in the calendar. Friday. If you go to the calendar, you can see it.
This is on Santa Cruz Indie Media. Just Google for Santa Cruz Indie Media or indiebay.org/Santa Cruz is the actual web address.
Friday, it's going to say Narwhal Graphic Protest right on the calendar.
Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow and whether you get your just desserts or what. We're going to have a brief musical break, and then we're going to be back with still more exciting, who knows how exciting, some tapes, maybe a word or two from Jillian if she calls in. You're invited to stay, Andreas, if you want to do some commentary on what we're doing here. I see the flood of phone calls shows the massive interest of the community in this.
Well,
or possibly everybody is off doing something else. I think there is a meeting of the downtown neighbors happening, Santa Cruz neighbors. That's a group that actually gave us the unruly assembly law. Whoa, that is a very loud, I better turn that sucker down. Somewhat, anyway. Let's see. We may have a... I thought we had a caller, but caller, try calling again. 427-3772 is the number to call here if you want to get through. I mean, you startled me, but that's no reason to run off into the distance. I'd like to hear from you. Again, 427-3772 is the number to call. And I guess what I'm going to do now is take a brief musical break, and I will be right back.
Out of here by 8:45 tonight and dispatch to have my ass.
Did the homo get on the chat?
down there. Are you shitting me? There's a hobo in my yard. Yeah, let's go. Open up. Get a little ass on him now. Go on, get him, boys. Open up a whole six-pack up on his ass. I'll have the hobos in my yard. You know that? This train is bound for glory, man. And ain't no room in glory for no freeload of hobos. No, sir.
And that was Hobo Train by Rube Waddell, or is it Waddiley, or Waddell. We're about to lose the man who's going to be doing some protesting tomorrow with the infamous Narwhala Graphomania. That's, well.
I'm going to have to start copywriting a lot of the words from this conversation, Narwhala Graphomania.
Yeah, well, they're feel free to use them.
Oh, I decided to add another attraction. So if you come tomorrow, if you listen to the radio show, just remind me, we're going to have a laser pointer set so you can shoot the wall with the laser pointer on top of the projections and you can write your name or whatever. It'll see the laser and it'll write right onto the screen with the computer.
Are most of the people who come to these events, how many people last week showed up, for instance?
30, 40 people.
Are they mostly under 25?
I can't say that. I mean, there was a bunch of bicyclists that came, and that's where the sound ordinance, there was a trike, and then there was tall bikes, and there was a lot of, you know, people that were a little bit older, like 30, 40. The week before that, we had the saxophone guy come. So, I mean, I feel like it's a pretty, diverse community thing.
Maybe get some drummers to come, who knows?
That would be great. Any drummers, please come on down.
I think I suggest you go to the drum circle on Wednesday, but I didn't see you there, Andreas.
I've been afraid ever since Officer Aldridge. I should really know. I'll be back on this Wednesday. I'll see you around with my camera.
Will you promise to give some counseling to those who begin to tremble when the police arrive? Actually, I don't feel too happy when the police arrive either. It's not the most reassuring thing in the world to some guy I'll stalk up to you with a gun, a taser, and a nightstick, and a uniform, telling you that, you know, you're just going to have to move along.
Well, the thing is, like last week, the reason that he gave me the citation, maybe or maybe not, was that we were projecting him saying these things.
So really?
Officer Aldrich,
or it was another officer?
It was the officer 199, whatever his name is. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, we'll do it again.
Did he actually comment on that? Did he say, I don't like my picture?
That was really sad, because it was America, the American flag with stars spinning behind him. And, I mean, how could he be so blind to his own dream? I mean, obviously that's what he wanted out of life, was to be in America, to be the American on the wall. And, I mean, I felt like that was really great. And we'll just do it again, and if they don't like it, you know, everyone in the entire town will be able to see it.
Well, you know, my question, I guess, is, did you show photos of, you know, actual things the police were doing, or are they just sort of visual pictures of cops?
No, the live video out of the camera. We had a camera with the live video of the cops.
At the same time as he was talking.
Yeah, he was shining lights into the camera, and we had him the whole thing, yeah. We have it on film. We'll put it on YouTube very soon.
I keep saying that, but I keep seeing nothing on YouTube.
We want to put it together really nice. Yeah. We're going to put it up really well, with probably some of this footage from this week.
Well, you know, I'd like to encourage you to maybe do some homeless films, some stuff, videos we've done of past protests. For example, we have some old video of the sleeping ban or the sitting ban protest that happened like 13 years ago, 14 years ago now. In May of 1994, people sat down at the corner of Cathcart and Pacific in violation of the law that said you can't sit. Well, then it said you can't sit on any sidewalk anywhere in Santa Cruz, with the exception of a couple of things like emergencies or parades and so forth. And the police came and arrested people, and they kept arresting and arresting and arresting until they realized more people would keep sitting down. And then some people were so pissed with the police that they started throwing rocks and stones through windows, and police declared an illegal assembly. Actually, before any of that happened, the police broke some guy's ribs and had one woman miscarry. Kennedy was mayor at the time. And so there was a strong reaction to a police attempt to enforce a bad law back in those days. We have video of that, and perhaps we could give you the video to play.
Very much so. Like to stamp it with normal.
DVDs, and can you play normal videos, like video tapes? What do you need to play?
DVD would be great, yeah. Or a video file, a movie or MPEG, you know.
But straight videotapes won't do it for you?
Not by tomorrow. I have a VCR machine, I can convert it, but it would take a while.
Okay.
There's a lab that exists, though.
A secret lab? Is this a meth lab as well?
No, it's just a bat lab. Bat lab that has a really cool car and computer system with Linux, and it's crazy.
Is it near the Bat Cave?
Very much so. Near the Bat Studio with the Bat Radio Station.
And the people who do it are all bats?
Glamorous bats.
Glamorous bats.
Yeah.
We've been talking with Andreas Nicholas, what would you call, audiophile, a projectionist, Narwhalophiliac.
Narwhalophiliac.
So he'll be there tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, I believe, Laurel and Front Streets.
Right there.
Will you be providing popcorn, or are you going to be people bring their own popcorn?
People keep wanting me to bring popcorn. I don't know. I know this, ironically, I know this guy in Felton who's an NRA guy who could probably bring his popcorn machine. He brought it to Burning Man.
NRA, that's the National Rifle Association.
Yeah.
We'll be bringing a couple of weapons just in case police get
if
frisky.
Wants, it's his lifestyle. But I think popcorn would probably be, you know, I mean, that's
popcorn,
the thing.
But no bullets.
Bring tea and cake. I think the cops will, what are they going to do? That, like last week, they're just like, yeah, they're projecting on the walls. How? Yeah, it's bright. It's exciting for them. I know they want to see it. They don't want to see guns.
Maybe you just have some special police section so you can they can have a, you know, their own maybe their own firing range off to the side like they do in the
some
in the
outlet
basement
for
of the police,
police officers besides minorities and homeless and kids with projections.
Well, I don't wish to criticize our police force unduly. Anyway, that's tomorrow night. That's going to be at 9 o'clock. Come on down. And if you don't come down, presumably you're going to be posting some stuff on Indie Bay.
Indeed. We'll put the YouTube video that I keep promising it'll be on Indie Bay soon.
427-3772 is the number in case you want to catch this man before he leaves the studio. This is your last opportunity. 427-3772 going once. Going twice.
427-3772.
And I'm afraid that's
wow.
It.
Goodbye,
thank you very
guys.
Much, Andreas. Appreciate you coming in.
Take care.
Hey.
Thank you very much.
All right, man. And, of course, you're still tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM. Let's turn now to an incident that happened on Friday in the court of Thomas Kelly, or Kangaroo Kelly, as I like to call him, somewhat affectionately in the past, because I used to say that didn't just mean it's a kangaroo court or a court that is fixed and phony, but it means more that you never know which way the guy is going to hop. He's kind of like a kangaroo. He's a friendly, gruff character, but he can be... He seems to have an interest, used to have an interest in homeless civil rights, even though his decisions weren't so hot. For example, he found in the Dan Hopkins case, Dragon's Heart Dan Hopkins, an activist from the 90s, who did a protest in front of City Hall for about 8 months, from March of 1996 through November, well, 7 months, 1996. Not sure how many months that is, actually. But it had to do with the fact that there was no shelter. And, of course, there's the sleeping ban law in Santa Cruz, the law, for those who don't know, that makes it illegal for a homeless person, anyone actually, but it impacts the 1,500 to 2,000 homeless people for whom there's shelter for only 160 tonight. It makes it illegal for them to sleep or cover up with blankets after 11 o'clock at night until 8:30 a.m. Kelly found, it's a constitutional law because, quote, they can sleep during the day, can't they? Not a good decision. Here is what happened in, you'll learn what happened in court on Friday. We're listening to Donna Dice first. She's an activist who has her own vehicle and who has been parking out in her RV, lives in her RV, and was out at one of the parking lots out at Lighthouse Field, which, as regular listeners to the station know, Ranger John Wallace decreed were out of bounds. Actually, he didn't really decree it. It was signs were posted, and he was supposedly just enforcing the law. But when we attempted to find out where this, quote, law came from, we couldn't get a straight answer from either Steve Hammack, who's superintendent of Parks and Rec, or Danette Shoemaker, who's the head of the department. They had no law other than a general law allowing Danette Shoemaker to close any area to the public that's patrolled by Parks and Rec, or maintained by Parks and Rec, which includes lots of property all over Santa Cruz. But it's not clear that she did this with Lighthouse Field parking lots. It's simply these signs were put up, and they became the cause celebre for a ticket, several tickets that Donna Dice got in August. Actually, the ranger, John Wallace, chief ranger, was simply trying to run off people in their RVs. And the idea, again, being, as with the parking lot panic law that we've been talking about, that will be the subject of the protest tomorrow night, the Santa Cruz Police and the Santa Cruz City Council and the Santa Cruz Manager for Life, Dick Wilson, just want you to police yourself. Save the police the trouble having to enforce cutting off your constitutional rights by doing it yourself. You know, stay out of trouble. Stay in your house. Go do shopping. Go to your job. Restrict yourself to whatever the laws, as the Santa Cruz City Council or the head of the Parks and Rec decides should be the case in Santa Cruz, regardless of how that really comports with your rights as an American citizen, as a Santa Cruz citizen, as a person who's a free human being. Anyway, here's some of that discussion. Two interviews I took last week after there was another rather unusual court scene, which I didn't get to, but you're going to hear described.
It is about 15 to 1 on the 19th of March. 5 years of murder in Iraq Day. Oh, the thrill of it all.
And that's pretty exciting, but unfortunately it's not quite what I had in mind. Boy, here I am trying to get it together. Don't go away. We're going to take a very, very brief musical break, and I will be right back with the appropriate tape. This is what comes of watching too many movies and not preparing adequately for shows.
It's the law to feed homeless. It's against the law to sleep in the park. It's against the law for you to see me. I live outside. I'm against the law. I'm a criminal. Cop, I want to eat. Fuck you, mayor. I live here. Fuck you, law-abiding citizen. You pushed me here. Fuck you, voter. I will never disappear. All your systems will crash one day, and you will crawl to me.
It is March 14th, 2008. I'm here with Donna Dice, who's formed an organization called Live, Living in Vehicles Excellently, which is a group of, I guess, what's happening with Live these days?
Well, we just keep gathering friends and emails and phone numbers, cell phone numbers.
Have you ever actually had a meeting of live people?
No.
Well, might be an idea.
If they sweep somewhere, I'm sure we'll get a meeting going.
So I know that this is a group of people who are in their RVs who have been hassled by police and are trying to, find some kind of safe place to be able to park their vehicles and avoid that kind of harassment.
I'm sorry, I missed what you're saying.
The reason you missed it, of course, is you're looking at a court order of some kind. What is this order you're looking at?
Well, today I was kind of forced into a trial. I think it was totally travesty of justice, like John Golder says, because I just put Ranger Wallace up on the stand and let him talk, and I didn't get to bring my witnesses up, and I got a few digs in and startled him a few times, but he was trying to end and begin, and the hell with you, dude. So
the court of Judge Thomas Kelly?
Yeah.
Kangaroo Kelly, as we like to call him. I understand. So you were charged with what? Being parked in a lot where no RVs are supposed to be, except that the state just moved in and painted over the no RVs parts of those signs out near Lighthouse Field, right?
Yes, I made sure to tell the judge that the state, as soon as they took it over and after the city council meeting, which of course is televised on community TV, boom, They painted over the four signs. So they knew they were wrong. So the city still wanted to lag their feet and say, well, it was under the city at the time, and, you know.
Is that what Ranger Wallace said?
Oh, yeah. And he tried to say the crowd was threatening, which is just normal people that hang out.
What was your ticket for?
Limiting access to public space by parking my motorhome, and evidently the judge thinks just because they put on a sign no motorhomes or trailers, which I know is against the Constitution and the Coastal Commission.
Just because the judge thinks,
just because the rule where they say you have to obey the law because it is the law, you know, which
so
just
the judge
makes
even
no,
if the law was unconstitutional, you still had to obey it.
Evidently, he did. He didn't give me any conclusions of law.
Is that what he said? He said that even if the law was wrong, your responsibility was to follow it. Did he say that, or did he just?
He didn't say that, right. But I know what they fall back on when they
did
have.
Did Ranger Wallace ever admit that no RVs that was posted there was later removed?
No, I brought it up to the judge, and the judge was actually happy to see, to hear that that was true.
What do you mean he was happy?
Well, he likes to find out things that you can only find out in the courtroom.
So he was pleased to hear it, but he didn't think it held enough weight to dismiss a charge, even though you were charged with violating a restriction that was painted over by the state about 3 weeks ago. That I guess you got the ticket way back in August, but that apparently the restriction on which it was based, the state claimed, had no basis because they went and they painted over it, not because they changed the rule, but because I guess they'd never given authorization to the city for the rule?
There was no paperwork. They said it was part of maintenance, and they've been saying that for the last...
Who said it was part of maintenance?
Danette Shoemaker in email.
That's the city, the head of the city parks and rec. That's distinguished from the state. I know there's a conflict of authority here. The state has, I guess, has these areas and leases them to the city. Is that right?
Yes, there's a 1977 agreement between the state and Lighthouse Field. You can't really separate the two because of the agreement.
Now, the important thing here is, you know, some people might ask, what is this? Just a bunch of chaos around RVs and, you know, state and city laws. But as I understood it, this was an attempt by the Parks and Recreation Department to make it more difficult for people in their RVs to be able to park anywhere in the city. I mean, they've already said permit parking has been established in different parts of the city, so you're not allowed to park at night unless you have a permit, even though the spaces are empty along the west side and along the downtown area and out in the Harvey West. Have you been experiencing in your RV a diminishing of space where you can park?
Well, yes, my favorite space. I was threatened by a first alarm pretending to be Santa Cruz police, so I reported it to the police that someone was impersonating a police officer trying to threaten people
out
of the
way. Happened, what, this morning? Or?
Yeah, about 8 o'clock yesterday morning.
Somebody came by in a white truck?
A white truck. I think it's a city parks truck, possibly.
Did it say city parks on it? Or?
It was the design of a city truck.
And they told you you couldn't park there?
Banged on the window, said, I told you yesterday to get out of here. If you're not out of here in 20 minutes, I will give you a citation. I was out of town visiting my elderly parents the day before.
So you personally, the officer or whoever it was, was the person in a uniform? Or?
Light blue shirt, which is more the color of a security guard than a police officer, in a darker blue shirt.
So, and did the individual say that he was a police officer?
Yes, that's the first thing he said. Santa Cruz Police.
Interesting. And did you inquire the police department whether such a patrol had actually taken place?
I did, and the police officer didn't come out to talk to me personally. He talked to me on the phone, and the sergeant was supposed to call me, but never did. So.
Did he say that? Either did he deny that that was a police action? Did he confirm it?
He seemed interested when I talked to him. I don't know what he was told.
Where were you parked, and were there some signage indicating it was illegal to park there?
No, it's where people park on the west side, and then they go walking on West Cliff.
So, again, getting back to this paper you have in your hand, this trial that happened today, and this, I guess, ticket back in August, where you were given a ticket for parking where no RVs were allowed, even though that part of the sign apparently has been ruled not just unconstitutional or illegal, but never had any authority to start with. I know you've been getting some help from John Goler to try to have this ticket dismissed short of court. I understand you tried to do this through communications with the Parks and Rec?
Yes, I directly went and talked to Steve Hammack, who allowed me to talk to him for about 20 minutes.
Steve Hammack is, of course, the head of the...
Superintendent of the Parks and Rec.
Sir, the individual right under Dennett Shoemaker.
A real goofy dude, man.
He's a goofy dude?
Groovy dude, man.
He's a groovy dude. Oh, well,
he's got the surfer lingo, you know. He's cool.
He's way cool. But what did he tell you?
He said that he was sure it would be dismissed if I just explained it to the judge the way I explained it to him. And he did say there were complaints of RVs backing into the space and using a part of the sidewalk, which is actually about 30 feet wide, so it's not obstructing anyone. I would do that at times after I broke my hip just to enjoy it. I would back in so I could look out and enjoy the ocean while I was recovering from hip surgery.
You park your vehicle on the sidewalk?
No, in a parking space.
And I know that there were some changes made not merely to the signs, but I guess they put in logs to shorten the spaces and narrow the spaces in terms of the painting of the parking spaces?
Restriping the lots, yes. And
I understand when people looked... I know I put in a Public Records Act request seeking the authority to do this, and I was told there was no documentation that any of this was ever authorized by a work order, and there was no paperwork from Dennett Shoemaker suggesting this was a change in the rules, but that it was simply done.
Yes, and you'd think they'd be concerned what tourists think and other people that frequently use RVs for traveling and enjoy the ocean.
We really don't want your trailer trashy type of RVs messing up the coastline.
Well, donate to a new auto shop. Do it yourself. And let's build a new auto shop for poor people.
Indeed. So you were given a fine as a consequence of this hearing?
No, I just have to be good until Labor Day.
That means you're not going to be parking your vehicle in those lots?
Yes, I can park in the lots. The state has not changed the sign. They took off no more homes or trailers, and it looks like it's staying off because it's been over 2 weeks now.
And Ranger Wallace has not been back with his ticket book?
He has been riding, but he goes through Lighthouse Field.
And I heard something about De La Vega Park being a place where Ranger Wallace or other rangers have threatened to start citing people.
I'm sorry, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, I heard that from somebody. I believe it was parked up at one of those four Lighthouse Field parking lots that Ranger Wallace was claiming were off limits, but the state then decided against that or removed the no RV parts of the signs. Did anything unusual happen in court today when you were there with your advocate, John Goler?
Well, practically as soon as John came in, the judge and the bailiff were signaling each other as to who he was, and they put him in handcuffs, saying he had some, misdemeanor from years ago, a suspended license, which he denied, which, why would you drive if you had a suspended license?
And did he, in fact, show his license to the judge?
Yes, he did. He had it in the bag.
Did the judge confirm it was not suspended?
No, he just set a trial date.
So John's going to go back. Wait, how long was John Goler kept in handcuffs?
Probably about 20 minutes to half an hour.
Did this affect? Well, we may actually have the word from Goler himself. I hear a voice from the wilderness crying out. Perhaps he'll come and give us his own version of events. We can hear what kind of story he cooks up. But did this influence your ability to talk to the judge, cross-examine John Wallace, present your case?
Well, it was totally out of court procedure because the judge just put Ranger Wallace on the stand before there was any introductory comments or anything and proceeded to tell me to cross-examine him if I wished to and wouldn't allow me to have my three witnesses, come on the stand.
Who were your three witnesses?
Jason Cordova, my friend Chris, and John Golder, who could testify as to all the emails he's been sending regarding this case.
So how long did the whole trial take?
I'd say about half an hour. I'm not sure. You kind of lose track of time in those situations.
Were you upset by what happened to Golder, or did you find that it...
I was very upset. I was shaking. I felt personally threatened myself. I didn't know what was going to happen next, and if they were going to take him away or what. It's totally uncalled for.
Well, I know that you gave me a call, which I didn't catch until later, but I got my message machine, which said that you were... You suddenly had been given a ride to court by John Golder, and now he was in handcuffs. You didn't know what was going to happen next.
Right. I didn't know if he was going to jail, and I'd have to deal with taking care of his car. And
was John acting outrageously? Was he jumping up and down, cursing the judge, throwing things at the bailiff?
Not at all.
What provoked the judge into having him handcuffed?
It seemed like they had it pre-planned that the bailiff had something on him ahead of time because they brought up issues from 5 years ago, mm-hmm. minor issues, and that enabled them to just put him in handcuffs in custody and not allow him to be a witness.
Well, Golder is a well-known jailbird. For instance, I know that when I went with him to the Parks and Rec Department in 2003, actually to check about Lighthouse Field, interestingly enough, he was immediately arrested, again on a charge that disappeared a day later. So it's interesting that they have this sort of disappearing charge that keeps showing up for Golder. It's kind of convenient if you don't want him to testify at the trial, although I suppose they didn't remove him from the room, right? So you could have called him up as a witness?
I tried to call him up as a witness, and the judge ended the case before I could call any witnesses. He refused to allow me to call him as a witness.
So your current status is you were given a fine that was suspended?
Yes, I have to be a good girl till Labor Day.
And what is the suspended fine?
$528.
For violating a non-existent sign that was improperly placed by the Parks and Rec in the first place.
Yes, without any public review. I thought it was outrageous. I've read the papers long enough to know what's going to go and what's not going to go. And the coast of California is liberal people.
What do you mean?
Access, coastal access for all people, handicapped people. Some of them just might happen to be in an RV or motorhome.
Now, are you handicapped yourself?
Yes, I am.
You have a handicap placard?
No, I don't. I'm in the process of getting one.
And what is the nature of your handicap?
I injured my back when I was a marine pipefitter on Maryland in the 80s. And I also broke my hip about 15 months ago.
So why is it that 15 months and 25 years later you still don't have a handicap placard, Donna Dice?
Well, you have to have a doctor that's willing to sign the paper, that's all. And my doctor wants me to walk as much as I can.
Oh, so she or he feels that it's best you not have a placard because if you did, it would deter you from recovering from your condition?
Well, it would deter me from walking a lot of times, I suppose. But
are you walking enough?
Not right now, not when I'm busy with court stuff. I don't have time. I'm pretty sore and hurt.
Well, I bet you are really grateful to Judge Tom Kelly, or Kangaroo Kelly, as I like to call him, and that old buddy of yours, John Wallace, for getting this whole issue straightened out.
Yeah, right, like there was any conclusions of law.
Anything else you saw in court today by any other cases that came up that might interest us?
I just hate to see so many people passive in regard to their case.
How do people react to John Golder's being handcuffed in court?
Well, they clear the courtroom. I was familiar with that technique, so.
So in other words, there were people there that were not allowed to witness his being handcuffed?
That's right.
How many people were told to leave the court?
About half a dozen people.
And why? Was Golder throwing things and threatening to beat people up?
Or? No, it seems like if you're even a little bit irritable in the courtroom, you're likely to get put away.
Well, didn't, in fact, the judge allow Golder to stay in that courtroom instead of dragging him out?
He stayed in the custody box, and I wasn't allowed to talk to him at all.
I mean, if he had wanted to separate you from Golder, he could have had him removed and taken to jail, right?
Well, it would have been illegal, and I'm sure he would have known that. He's just trying to do what he could get away with because he knows John has a history of fighting cases like this and actually prevailing.
I know that I heard from John that he specifically requested immediately to be taken before a magistrate, and he said so in a loud, clear voice.
Yes, he did. No response from the court, though.
Well, wasn't that one of the reasons, perhaps, that he wasn't taken out of the room?
I'm not sure of that.
Well, we'll have to explore these intricacies later, but at least we can be sure that Tom Kelly and John Wallace are on the job.
At least I put John Wallace through a few paces, and I did inform the judge of a few things he didn't know, like the fact that the state already painted over the signs right after the city council meeting, and they have stayed off, so...
And what's next for Alive, Living in Vehicles Excellently? When are you planning your next pizza party?
Well, come to the beach. We've been having a little food party there.
What time would that be?
Every afternoon. Bring something. We have a little potluck there.
What beach?
Well, this is at the famous Lot A, but don't tell any cops.
And that's up near Lighthouse Field?
Yes, just past Lighthouse.
You've been talking with?
Tom the Dice.
And your phone number, Donna, for those who want to get in touch with you to lend support or possibly join the organization of Live?
325-5684.
Or your email?
SpiritDancerOcean@yahoo.com.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm with Joan Golder here in the, at a secret location. And Joan, he just came from the trial.
Lair.
You're in your lair, actually. You were in court today. I see you're no longer in handcuffs. How could they let you go so easily?
Licking my wounds, Robert.
Well,
I didn't have to chew off my arm to get loose, though. That's, I guess I can count that to my benefit.
Well, as I mentioned before, you'd previously been handcuffed in another incident involving the Parks and Rec 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago. Anyway, around that time, 2003. Wow. Well, I'm going to jump back to the original question,
jump back.
What happened in court today and what's next?
Well, I mean, to sum it up, Robert, I'm definitely a person of interest here. Been making a lot of waves lately and causing a lot of work for city employees to have to justify the inexcusable way they run and manage the public property. So
specifically regarding
In this particular case, and my particular pet peeve is the way Parks and Management manages the city property.
Parks and Rec.
Yeah, City Parks and Rec. Okay. So I was assisting Donna Dice with a case where she was given a ticket, citation, actually several, for having her motorhome in a lot at Lighthouse Field, or by Lighthouse Field. Where there was a sign that said no motorhomes. But as you and I suspected years ago when we investigated this...
And where you were arrested.
Well, yeah. We had done a lot of investigation to see whether they had indeed had any real authority for what they did. We looked for plans and projects. We looked at the whole thing in detail, as you recall, to find out whether they had gone through the proper public process to change the rules in the parking lots. And of course, the end result was that they hadn't. But and you had followed up on this shortly after Donna had gotten her ticket back in, what, August? She got one ticket end of August, another ticket a few days later. And you immediately made a records request asking them what the... tell me what it was. I'm trying to remember exactly what you asked, but you asked for the...
the authority behind which the parking lots were ruled suddenly. The new signs were put up banning RVs or motorhomes.
Yeah, you asked for the authority of the changes, which included restriping and the new signs, no motorhomes and that. And what kind of response did you get, Robert?
Well, that was a while ago, but as I recall, we have no such records was something that I think was the response.
Well, no, but I have your records, or the records that you asked about the records.
Indeed, the records are there. In other words, the emails indicate that they claimed not to have records around this issue, as I remember. All the records they had was, I think there was a vague resolution. There was a resolution from City Council giving Danette Shoemaker absolute authority to do whatever she wanted without consulting the Parks and Rec Commission. But one would have thought, even with that authority, she would have had to, at some point in time, made a specific written change that was that directed that signs be put up, and I don't think that was ever anything we got out of Parks and Rec.
Well, that's right. You asked them for any records that they had relating to the matter, as did I when you or when I finally listened to your pleas about the case in mid-December and took over trying to help Donna out on this thing. And I sent a flurry of emails to Danette Shoemaker and Parks and Rec and city administration asking for any records they had showing the justification and the authority for the changes that they had made, which was done in a state parking lot. The actual land at Lighthouse Field is owned by California State Parks.
And the doggies will no longer be allowed to run free as of today or tomorrow, right?
Well, actually, I don't think the state... We'll have to see if the state actually has a law against that. We're going to ask them for their authority. But I do know that all during that time, as far as I know, if anybody got a ticket for having their dog off-leash, it wasn't a valid ticket. But
when you got to court today, right, you had an immense stack of papers. You had coached Donna as to the appropriate questions to ask, since you were not allowed yourself. You're not an attorney. And indeed, although I would have thought you would have been allowed to advise her silently, as has been the case in the past, for some reason, Judge Tom Kelly didn't want you to do that.
Yeah, well, yeah, we spent a tremendous amount of time preparing for this, though a lot of it was last minute, not due to me, but because Donna, let's say she just put it off. So so we came in there with a tremendous amount of paper, and I was helping her organize the papers. We had about 25 or 30 emails that made it unequivocal that Parks and Rec had no authority for the postings. They had no record of administrative action, not a single document backing up the changes they had made in the parking lot.
In other words, the no RVs or no motor vehicles part of the sign was without justification, and indeed that part of the sign has been painted over by the state subsequently, right?
That's right. The records request that I made, which happened during December and January and February, were copied to different people in the state park system, and one of those people was Kurt Lingenfelter, who is the superintendent of the Santa Cruz area. And when he got these emails, he thought to himself, because we had a phone conversation about this, he thought to himself, well, I better check in on what the city's been doing for the last 30 years down there now that we have the park. There was a 30-year agreement that ended last November. And so he started going around to look at the signs and realized that what I was aiming at here was something that the city had done that was completely against state park policy and had no authority. So he sent his people out there, and they painted out the signs.
And apparently they didn't even inform Parks and Rec they were doing so, because when you talk to Parks and Rec, they had no knowledge of that, the city Parks and Rec?
Yeah, that's right. I made an error here. I sent a congratulatory email to Parks and Rec in the city saying, thank you for acknowledging what the law really is. And they said back, well, I don't know anything about it, you know. And so I rescinded my congratulatory email and proceeded to ask them more questions. Basically, what we've asked them now is we want to know every single area subject to closure and subject to this ticket that they claim that in this ordinance that
we'll get into that later. That's another issue and an important one. But and more important was the reception you got from your old friend Tom Kelly in court.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, actually, I can't even remember being in front of Kelly. I may have been once or twice over the past year. I've seen so many judges and so many courtrooms, Robert, they all start to blur after a while. But I was helping Donna with her papers, and a judge said, Mr. Goldery, you can't stay there. That's reserved for attorney. So I got up and started walking away, and I kind of shook my head and said, I'm just here to help her organize her papers. And as I was walking away, I said loud enough for the judge to hear, she's still in arraignment. She hasn't pled yet, which is, you know, means that we had filed a demur, which was denied, but we were still technically in arraignment. And that's what our copies of the paper said. So She was not technically supposed to be starting trial, and
she was there, in fact, trying to get a continuance.
Well, yeah, she was trying to get a continuance. We
attempt to get the trial delayed.
We were going to try and start a trial, and we would have headed this off sooner, but the point was that she wasn't really prepared for it, and I wasn't prepared for it as well as I'd like to be, since she had to carry the ball herself up there and it has no experience. I wanted her to be well coached on it, but it wasn't going to happen. So I'm walking away. I can't be up there with her. So Kelly yells over to the bailiff. He says, "You got anything on him?" And the bailiff, this woman, immediately answers. I mean, she's got this on the tip of her tongue. "Well, yeah, he's wanted on a $3,000 failure to appear at arrest warrant." And I look over at her and I go, "What the hell?" This astonished look on my face. She's motioning to me to come meet her in the aisle, and I know what's coming next. You know, the chrome bracelet. So I walk up there to her, and I was kind of pretty unaware of what else was going on in the courtroom at that time. But I was, you know, what are you talking about here? Say something had to do with driving on a suspended license, and here I have a valid driver's license in my wallet. So she's wanted to put the handcuffs on me, and I challenged her. I said, "What are you arresting me for?" I said, "Penal Code 841. I'm demanding to know, articulate the reason for the arrest." And that's what Penal Code says. If you demand it, they have to tell you. Unless you're in the act of committing a crime, like you're beating somebody over the head, they don't have to stop and pause. But if you're being arrested, they have to tell you the reason why they're arresting you and their authority for the arrest. Well, this gal couldn't tell me. You know, she's sitting there trying to get me to you know, cooperate with her, and I'm looking her in the eye about, and I said, "I'm not resisting. I'm demanding to know." And I said, "I demand to see the warrant, and I demand to know who issued the warrant." And she didn't have any answers for me.
You didn't get to see the warrant?
No, I never got to see the warrant. And that's 842. That's the next penal code says if they're arresting you under a warrant, if they don't have to show it at that moment, but they have to show it. If you ask for it, they have to show it to you as soon as they can. Well, I never stopped demanding a warrant from that point on. They
still haven't shown it to you.
They haven't shown it to me. No,
this was this morning about 10:30.
I agreed to be taken into custody.
Now about 4:15.
I agreed to be taken into custody, and they led me up there and put me in the in custody box in the courtroom. So I'm sitting there watching.
The pajamas usually sit.
Yeah, well, I didn't have the pajamas on. No, but anyway, so Donna's ready to start her trial. She's just sitting there with her jaw hanging open in shock about what happened. Of course, I'm in shock. I'm really pissed, and I'm demanding to be, I'm making my demand to be taken immediately before magistrate to the bailiff. I said, "I demand to be taken immediately before magistrate," and she said, "Well, they can get your paperwork over here, and you will get to see a magistrate immediately." So
you didn't get to see the paperwork, though. And the magistrate became Kelly.
No, I never did get to see the paperwork. They never got to see the warrant, that's for sure. They never showed me the warrant. Eventually, after Donna's trial, I mean, we could talk about Donna's trial, but to keep this continuous, I didn't get to address this till at the end of Donna's trial. And
20 minutes later?
Yeah, the bailiff came over and asked me, said, you got proof that you've got a valid license? I said, "Yeah, it's in my wallet in there." And she went and got it, pulled it out, showed it to the DA, showed it to the judge, and they both kind of looked at it, you know. Yeah, I guess he does have a good driver's license. So eventually, I get my hearing right there. And
still in handcuffs?
Oh, yeah, still in handcuffs. So it was starting out kind of fuzzy with the questions about the license and stuff. And
why were they holding you in handcuffs? You weren't threatening to leave, right?
Well, that's your question as good as mine, Robert. You know, after all, you know, I'm not a guy that... I'm not particularly cooperative with the boys in blue.
Oh, were you not cooperating? Were you refusing to sit down? Were you disrupting the court procedure?
Well, you can judge for yourself. I was demanding my rights.
Having demanded them, did you struggle as they attempted to handcuff you?
I wouldn't say that I did. They could easily arrested me. They would have called more officers if I had struggled. I didn't know. I cooperated as best I know how.
Well, I mean, did you need to be handcuffed in order to be allowed to stay there, or would you have stayed with your hands folded in front of you?
They didn't give me the choice, Robert.
But had they?
Are you asking whether I would have kept my hands folded?
No, whether you would have stayed in the courtroom, stayed in essence under arrest without resisting the arrest.
Well, I don't know. Let's try it. See what happens.
I can understand why they handcuffed you. Go on, Goldie.
Well, anyway, so I got to sit there and watch Donna.
I'll give you every chance for that one.
Yeah. Donna Dice carried on her trial as best she could with zero experience in a courtroom, trying to defend herself. And we
had about the question of RVs, whether the ticket was valid when their signs were removed and there was no authority to put the signs in the first place. And John Wallace is no longer giving out such citations. Had the property changed hands back to the state by the time these citations were given out?
No, it was still in the city's management. It was a management agreement. The city still had the right to manage it, but that right was conditioned on the fact that any project that they did or any significant change that they did, they had to run it by the state to make sure it met their policies. Well, they didn't do that, and they actually got caught. It was last Thursday, on the 6th of March or 4th of March or whatever, there was a hearing, 4th of March, they were hearing down in Carmel.
The Coastal Commission.
The Coastal Commission, and the Coastal Commission gave them a good spanking and said, you can't just change these parking signs and make any rules you want.
You're referring to other signs, but
other signs.
Same area.
But same thing, it was a parking restriction. It was a parking restriction, and the Coastal Commission found it unreasonable and told the city that they weren't going to buy the fact that there was some crime wave because people stayed there after 10 o'clock.
So they moved the parking time to midnight.
That's right. They changed it. The city wanted it to be 10 p.m., and Coastal Commission said, sorry, guys, you got no proof. There's a problem here, so it stays till midnight.
Midnight the prior amount of time, or was that some sort of compromise? I don't see why there should be any time limit whatsoever unless there's some specific problem that's developed. But anyway, that's another issue. So back to Donna's trial, which you actually witnessed in handcuffs from the prisoner's box.
Oh, I had a great view. Better than you get from back there in the audience. I got to see the judge and got to watch Wallace sweat it out. And
that's Chief Ranger John Wallace.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I had a great view.
Was he sweating out or was he enjoying himself?
I had what they call a box seat.
Indeed. How was Wallace? What was his reaction?
Well, Wallace sat there, and the judge should have actually admonished him. He sat there reading a report that he had, which you're not allowed to do, really. He was just had his nose in the report, and he just read off all this crap that he'd written about to try and make Donna look like a bad person. The assumption on Wallace's part and the assumption the judge made was that, well, you know, this is a law the city passed. But that's an assumption I know absolutely to be not true.
But unfortunately, Donna wasn't able to document that, even though she had the documentation present, perhaps in part because of the anxiety she felt at one of her chief defenders being hauled off in handcuffs.
Well, they didn't haul me off, but it's even worse than that. They dangled me there. Well, I couldn't dangle me there and shut me up.
Like the Chicago 8 trial.
Well, I did my best with body English. Every time that Wallace told another liar, the judge said something that really should have been challenged or was in favor of the prosecution. I made the appropriate body signals to the audience.
But did the transcriber get the appropriate body signals? Would you cough loudly or perhaps vomit?
I did make a few noises here and there.
Fart in a communicative manner.
Several times I stood up to make the bailiff come over, because when you stand up, the bailiff comes over and tells you to shut up and sit down. And I asked the bailiff, because I didn't see a court reporter in there, I said, well, where's the recording of this court of record? And she says, they're recording it, so that's why you need to be quiet.
So just trying to help you out.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, and that calmed me down a little bit. At least, I mean, she told me that it was being recorded. We'll find out.
Did she offer to loosen the handcuffs?
No. But, So Donna did the best she could, but she didn't really challenge the law, unfortunately. It was something we got over again and again, and she didn't do it.
Specifically, she didn't do what?
She did not ask Mr. Wallace to show the court where parking lot A had a prohibition against motorhomes. Show in the code or resolution or ordinance where that prohibition had been, the place had been described and the prohibition had been written down. And of course, Wallace wouldn't have been able to do it because it's not in there, but she didn't ask the question, and that was fundamental to the case.
Don't ask the right questions, they're all at the hook.
We always make this assumption because we see a sign and because somebody in blue comes up and writes a ticket for us that there's actually a law in place. And that's usually the case. There usually is. But in this case, there wasn't. And that's what outraged me about this thing, that you've got a paid ranger doing unlawful arrests on citizens and ordering them around for a non-existent prohibition. All they did was put up a sign. They did no public process. And so what's really happening here is malicious prosecution. Donna's the only one who got dinged for this thing. The rest of the people got chased away with threats.
But they have returned now that due to your diligence and her diligence and my diligence, the signs have been painted over, correct?
That's right, and we're going to go a lot further than that because the Coastal Commission is going to give them a bunch more spankings, and I'm going to be there to
pictures
to help swing the paddle.
Whoa. We've been talking with?
Johan Golder.
Thank you, Johan.
And that is the upshot of Donna's attempt to get justice in Thomas Kelly's court for citations written on what seemed to be non-existent authority about RVs and the parking lots. No RVs in the parking lots. Signs have since been painted over by the state Parks and Rec. But there is actually another chapter to this story. Of course, one of the chapters is whether an advocate who's trying to help someone defend herself can be arrested in the way that John Golder was arrested, and whether he has any recourse. We're going to find out if that actually works. I got a call from Jillian Greenside, by the way, for those who are interested in the rape case that happened out at the wharf or the down on the coast, the recent rape that's in the Sentinel. And we've talked a lot about police failure to adequately investigate rape, according to Commissioner for the Prevention of Violence Against Women, a co-founder and maverick member, not reappointed by Mike Rotkin because of the intensity of her criticism regarding police department failure to adequately investigate rapes. And hopefully she'll be calling in on Sunday. She apologized. She has a sort of a conflict tonight, so she can't really get to us tonight. I'm actually going to try to reach Donna Dice for an update on what's happening with her because the state rangers are now taking out after her and trying to claim, even though there's no signs posted, that RVs of her sort are not going to be allowed there in the Lighthouse Field area. And, again, what this seems to be is I haven't been out there and heard the actual claims of the state ranger, but the secondhand report I get from Donna is that they are declining to give the authority under which they're operating. They are not citing the law, and they are simply threatening to give citations. And when people pull out tape recorders or cell phones to document what goes on, they leave. So it's kind of, if this is accurate, of course, it's kind of chicken shit behavior, although understandable behavior. Police have used this for years. I mean, it's a standard technique. You know, you threaten someone in order to get them to give you what you want. And if that doesn't work, you know, there's a variety of police tactics that are used to assist in their investigation of crime situations. Hence the value of the advice by the fight that they fight for your rights or the know your rights forums, which say in essence, you know, if a police officer comes up to question you, one of the best things to do, simply say, you know, am I free to leave? And if a police officer says anything other than no, you do leave. You know, you don't run away. You simply walk away. Thank you very much. I'm on my way. Or if you if you're trying to play music downtown, you're being interfered with by a police officer, you know, you say, well, officer, I don't really want to talk to you at this time. No offense, man. I'm doing something else, unless you have reasonable suspicion or probable cause there's a crime happening here. You know, you don't even have to use fancy language. You can say, I don't really want to talk right now. Thanks. See you later, alligator. It's easy for me to say, of course, from the studio to make these kinds of suggestions, and much harder to do it on the ground, I know. But in fact, it's often safer to engage in that kind of stuff, to use that kind of response, because you won't be making incriminating statements. You're just simply saying, I don't want to talk. Leave me alone. You know, you want to arrest me, of course, and I'll go peacefully, but, you know. Another approach, of course, is to say, what crime are you charging me with? Okay, what's the authority? Can you show me the law? Okay, can I talk to your superior if you don't know what the law is? And then if you're during court hours on the weekday, you'd say, I'd like to be taken before a magistrate for a probable cause hearing. You know, I'm not refusing to sign the citation, but I want to first go to a magistrate to determine that, you know, you're doing so in the appropriate way. No offense, man. I think there just may be a mistake here. And there's sort of various approaches that can be used, and that's one of them. I'm going to try to get a hold, as I say, of Donna Dice, but I'm having trouble digging her phone number out of my computer. So we may have to wait on that for wait until Sunday for a report from her on exactly what's going on out at the parking lot at Lighthouse Field, where we thought that a victory had been won when the city itself had its own no RV signs painted over by state officials after the inquiries by John Golder. John, of course, was punished by being arrested, but that arrest looks like it's not going to go anywhere, and we'll certainly get more information on that as we kind of move down the road. I'll be out there tomorrow night at the protest, protest that Andreas Nicholas talked about earlier in the show, and that was talked about on Indie Bay. For all you new listeners, there's going to be a kind of a called a Narwhala projection protest. Narwhala protest. Don't quite have the right word, but it's a projected images of things that are happening even as they happen on the walls of buildings in a vacant parking lot tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. It's been done the last two Friday nights. Apparently it's going to be done again tomorrow night. We also have a few interviews from the street to close off this evening with. I'll be back on Sunday. And I want to remind plaintiffs in the sleeping ban lawsuit, the lawsuit against the city's cruel and unusual punishment of homeless people, declared cruel and unusual by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in the L.A. Jones case, arresting people for sleeping when they have no legal place to sleep in Santa Cruz. We're going to be having a plaintiff party at 12:30 in Loudoun Nelson Center on Saturday. And those who are plaintiffs are reminded, come on down. We're going to be signing the contracts with the lawyers, and we should be having the complaints drawn up shortly thereafter and the lawsuit filed. And then there'll be a higher profile to the whole issue, and it'll acquire some more reality other than my just talking about it on Free Radio Santa Cruz. That's going to be 12:30 Loudoun Nelson Center. If you're a supporter, you want to come down, you're welcome to come. If you're not a plaintiff, you're not going to get a very big piece of pizza, though, unless you bring your own. Also on Saturday at 2 o'clock is the Human Rights Organization, which will be meeting to consider how to fight the destruction of public space downtown, the criminalization of the poor, the sleeping ban, the sitting ban, the various bans that have arisen, compliments of the downtown associations, Ryan Coonerty, his father Neil Coonerty, Lynn Robinson, other politicians who have been essentially, I don't want to say beating the bigotry drums, because they aren't directly using a lot of bigoted appeals, but they are using the fear card, the card that President Bush and Dick Cheney and Hillary Clinton and who knows, even Obama, talking about the terror, the need to fight the war on terror in Afghanistan play that essentially magnifies and misleads us around what the dangers are in order to encourage us to accept more police power and more more military power. It's all horse shit, and we're stuck in the middle of it. The Human Rights Organization meets at 2 o'clock at the Firefly Cafe. That's at 131 Front Street, for those of you who haven't been to the Firefly before. Nice place. Check it out. Now, here's a few interviews right before the upcoming Cream to the Dregs, which will be shortly creaming at you. Compliments of Uncle Dennis. I did want to do one quick thing before that. I actually looked up, since yesterday was the 5th anniversary of the U.S. Criminal occupation of Iraq and invasion. There's a guy who burned himself to death, Chicago activist. He burned himself alive for the cause of peace 2 years ago, as he saw it. And I'm going to read a little story about that. I think that's how I'm going to end the show. During the Vietnam War, Buddhist monks in Saigon set themselves on fire to protest the war. The whole world watched as these martyrs for peace went up in flames. On a November day in 2006, a man approached the Millennium Flame sculpture on the Kennedy Expressway near the Ohio exit in Chicago and set himself aflame, leaving a note stating, "Thou shalt not kill." The local media wrote this off as another unfortunate case of mental illness. But it wasn't mental illness. It was an anti-war protest. Malachi Richer, R-I-T-S-C-H-E-R, Richer, was a martyr for peace. And here is his testament. "My actions should be self-explanatory, and since in our self-obsessed culture, words seldom match the deed, writing a mission statement would seem questionable, so judge me by my actions. Maybe some will be scared enough to wake from their walking dream state. Am I therefore a martyr or terrorist? I would prefer to be thought of as a spiritual warrior. Our so-called leaders are the real terrorists in the world today, responsible for more deaths than Osama bin Laden. I've had a wonderful life, both full and full of wonder. I've experienced love and the joy and the heartache of raising a child. I've jumped out of an airplane and escaped a burning building. I've spent the night in jail and dropped acid during the 60s. I've been privileged to have met many supremely talented musicians and writers, most of whom were extremely generous and gracious. Even during the hard times, I felt charmed. Even the difficult lessons have been like blessed gifts. And when I heard about our young men and women who are sent off to war in the name of God and country and who give up their lives for no rational cause at all, my heart is crushed. What has happened to my country? We have become worse than the imagined enemy, killing civilians and calling it collateral damage, torturing and trampling human rights inside and outside our own borders, violating our own constitution whenever it seems convenient, lying and stealing right and left, more concerned with sports on television and ringtones on cell phones than the future of the world. Half the population is taking medication because they cannot face the daily stress of living in the richest nation in the world. I too love God and country and feel called upon to serve. I can only hope my sacrifice is worth more than those brave lives thrown away when we attacked an Arab nation under the deception of weapons of mass destruction. Our interference completely destroyed that country and destabilized the entire region. Everyone who pays taxes has blood on their hands. I have had one previous opportunity to serve my country in a meaningful way. At 8:05 one morning in 2002, I passed Donald Rumsfeld on Delaware Avenue, and I was acutely aware that slashing his throat would spare the lives of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of innocent people. I had a knife clenched in my hand, and there were no bodyguards visible. To my deep shame, I hesitated, and the moment was past. The violent turmoil initiated by the United States military invasion of Iraq will beget future centuries of slaughter if the human race lasts that long. First, we spit on the United Nations, then we expect them to clean up our mess. Our elected representatives are supposed to find diplomatic and benevolent solutions to these situations. Anyone can lash out and retaliate. That is not leadership or vision. Where is the wisdom and honor of the people we delegate our trust to? To the rest of the world, we are cowards demanding Iraq to disarm, and after they comply, we attack with remote control high-tech video game weapons, and then lie about our reasons for invading. We, the people, bear complete responsibility for all that will follow, and it won't be pretty. It is strange that most, if not all, of this destruction is instigated by people who claim to believe in God or Allah. Many sane people turn away from religion, faced with the insanity of the true believers. There is a lot of confusion. Many people think that God is like Santa Claus, rewarding good little girls with presents and punishing bad little boys with lumps of coal. Actually, God functions more like the Easter Bunny, hiding surprises in plain sight. God does not choose the lottery numbers. God does not make the weather. God does not endorse military actions by the self-righteous. God does not sit in a cloud listening to your prayers for prosperity. God does not smite anybody. If God watches the sparrow fall, you notice that it continues to drop, even to its death. Face the truth, folks. God doesn't care. That's not what God is or does. If the human race drives itself to extinction, God will be there for another couple million years, watching as a new species rises and falls to replace us. It is time to let go of primitive and magical beliefs and enter the age of personal responsibility, not telling others what is right for them, but making our own choices and accepting consequences. Who would Jesus bomb? This question is primarily addressing a Christian audience, but the same issue faces the Muslims and the Jews. God's message is tolerance and love, not self-righteousness and hatred. Please consider, thou shalt not kill, and as ye sow, so shall ye reap. Not a lot of ambiguity there. What is God? God is the force of life, the spark of creation. We each carry it within us. We share it with each other. Whether we are conscious of the life force is a choice we make every minute of every day. If you choose to ignore it, nothing will happen. You are just less conscious. Maybe you are less happy, maybe not. Maybe you grow able to tap into the universal force and increase the creativity in the universe. Love is anti-entropy. Please notice that conscious and conscience are related concepts. Why God? What is the value? Whether committee consensus of a benevolent power that works through humans or giant fungus under Oregon, the value of opening up to the concept of God is in coming to the realization that we are not alone, establishing a connection to the universe, the experience of finding completion. As individuals, we may exist alone, but we are all alone together as a people. Faith is the answer to fear. Fear opposes love. To manipulate through fear is a betrayal of trust. And this, again, is a long... It's not so long, actually. It's got a few more paragraphs. But it's the testament of Malachi Richer, a Richer, who died burning himself to death in November of 2006 to protest the Iraqi war. The only person who has done so, as far as I know, in a conscious way, and I wanted to acknowledge him. And he actually also wrote his own obituary. And there was, of course, a lot of criticism of him and some praise. In December 2002, the city of Chicago dedicated a statue called The Flame of the Millennium, a 7-ton stainless steel abstract rendering of a flame in high wind standing over the Kennedy Expressway just west of the downtown loop. Last Friday, November 3rd, 2006, the statue appeared to be on fire. When authorities got there, they found a video camera, a canister of gasoline, a sign reading, "Thou shalt not kill," and a human body so badly charred that it was impossible to determine its sex. Someone had self-immolated near a highway off-ramp amid rush hour traffic. Over the next few days, memories of Chicago's avant-garde musical community would be shocked to learn that the person who'd done this was one of their own, someone many of them have been running into several nights a week for more than a decade. Tougher still would be dealing with the reasons behind it. According to the statements left on the website, he set himself on fire to protest the war in Iraq. Well, that's about it for Bathrop Spears Broadsides. I hear the sounds of violent poundings on the door, actually gentle poundings. So let's go out on this last song, and perhaps I'll be with you again if you're with me and I'm with you on Sunday morning at 9:30, or perhaps I'll see you at the protest tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the parking lot at Front Street and Laurel.
California, a university and beach town, one of America's most liberal cities, now has the toughest panhandling ordinance in California. Sitting on downtown sidewalks, using profane language, panhandling while drunk, or lying about how the money will be spent, all illegal.
Now people are going to use fear and intimidation to try to hassle money out of other people, we're going to say, no, that's not allowed.
A self-proclaimed socialist led the crackdown.
They have some sense of entitlement. I don't know where they get it from, that somehow the city owes them. Give us your parks. Give us some place to stay, like we owe them a place to survive.
At the same time, the city does fund a wide range of services for the homeless. And it's not just Santa Cruz. Cities all over the U.S. are finding themselves fed up. They've run out of patience. Liberal cities like San Francisco, where police break up soup kitchens operated by the homeless activist group Food Not Bombs for operating without a permit.
I was convicted of serving soup at the Civic Center Plaza in front of City Hall and sentenced to 2 months in jail.
Next week, Santa Monica will adopt new laws banning aggressive solicitation.
People are beginning to say, we've got to grab hold of something and claim it and say, you know, this is going to be the way we're going to save our cities. The sad part is this is the absolute wrong way to do it, that we need to support the people in the inner cities, help them get the jobs and housing and health care they need, or the problem's going to get much worse.
Reporter John Robinson went undercover as a panhandler for a newspaper story.
More than one person spit at my feet.
Americans have always been charitable, but there seems to be little of that feeling left for people who, instead of asking for help, demand it.
The homeless, a problem for only one reason. That president raises the question, who wants a plan? The homeless, a problem for only one reason. A president raises the question, who wants a plan? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Could it be 90 million dead Indians? Who owns the land? Could it be 6 million Jews? Who owns the land? Is there a connection? Who owns the land? To all imperialism? Who owns the land?
Well, going back to the bottom.
And you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 FM on your radio dial and out on the wide weird web at freakradio.org. I am your Uncle Dennis, and you are listening to From the Cream to the Dregs, and we will be coming at you here with music and news and fun for the next 3 hours. First, we got to let you know that Free Radio couldn't exist without your help, so make a donation to Free Radio today. Go to our webpage for more information, and you can also donate online. So keep that in mind. On this show, we're going to have the Brew of the Week coming up here in just a few minutes. Then around 9 o'clock, we'll have the Earth First Update, environmental news you can use, and then, of course, right around 10.